Beat reporter Fluto Shinzoa joins us from Boston. Fluto, great article today, and it's pretty obvious after you outline it like that, the Bruins have to make a deal. Is Johnny Boychuk 1 year away from unrestricted free agency? Is he the obvious one, or will they go for maybe a smaller contract to move?
Well, I think, Jason, that Johnny would certainly be attractive on the market. You look at his experience. He's won a cup. He hits like you wouldn't believe. He's got a very good shot. He's a right shot. He's played some shutdown defense with Zdeno Chara here. He's their third guy. Played a lot of minutes, a lot of heavy, important minutes. So yeah, this is a player that would be attractive on the market. This is a player that is a good fit for the Bruins. But the reality is that they're going to be up against it, mostly because of Jerome McGinley's bonuses from last year. They have to re-sign these two restricted free agents, Torrey Krug and Riley Smith. They're going to be important, pretty core players in their system for a few years now. And Johnny, you look at the market for guys like Orpik, guys like Englund, based on that market, Dan Girardi a little while ago, Johnny could be asking for $6 million a year for good term. And that's just not going to be within the Bruins' budget going forward after next year. So, yeah, while a trade wouldn't necessarily be great for the Bruins in terms of just losing Johnny's presence on the blue line, the reality is they've got to free up some cash to sign their young players.
And if they're going to free up some cash, I'm guessing then that they would be trying to look for prospects or picks in return, not necessarily salary.
That's correct. I think they would like to. I know they're kicking some tires on some depth forwards, namely for their third line. They weren't able to re-sign Aginla, who went to Colorado for a greater term and money than the Bruins could afford. So you lose your first line right wing. Now they can move up Erickson, Louis Erickson, up to that first line. But what made the Bruins very good in the latter parts of the regular season last year and in the first round against Detroit was that their third line was dynamite. Him and Carl Soderberg really had some good chemistry on the third line. They're playing against third pairings and third and fourth lines. So I think they would want to find a veteran replacement for Louis on that third line. So now with the cap mechanisms, which allow for teams to retain salary, maybe that's something that the Bruins look at. Obviously, you'd have to make the package a little bit sweeter if you're going to try and get another GM to retain some salary in a deal like that. But yeah, I think their primary goal right now is to free up some money.
You look at the rest of the defense. You know, Adam McQuaid's probably a guy they'd want to trade, but he can't really stay healthy and doesn't have that big of a ticket. Same with Miller. What about Bartowski? What type of defenseman is he?
Intriguing, I think, is the word. He's very, of the defensemen they have, it's interesting. One night he looks terrific. He can skate very well with the puck. He's one of those guys. I think we see the league moving, and we saw it with L.A., we saw it with Chicago, is that you're looking for more mobility, more puck movement on the back end just to get the puck, retrieve it, and then just get the heck out and get it up to your forwards. And he does that well on some nights. And then on other nights, he just looks lost. I don't think the hockey sense really at times is a mesh with his physical gifts, which are skating, strength. He can really push the puck well. So he's under contract for one more year. Then he's unrestricted. He's at a pretty decent number, 1.25. So I think for a team that doesn't have much depth, much high-end players, maybe he's a four or a five. He's just one of those players that he just really hasn't found the right fit with the Bruins just because of that inconsistency. Now, maybe he finds that. He's 26, 27 years old. Maybe you find that as a defenseman at that age. But right now, him and Johnny, I think, are the two players that would be most attractive on the trade market for other teams.
Looking at the Bruins, you mentioned they're looking for a replacement on the right wing. Anybody in the system you think could fill that void?
There's a few. The issue there is that you'd be asking guys to play their off wing. We saw some players, especially at the end of last year, we saw Matt Frazier come in had an impact right away against Montreal. He scored the overtime winner, the only goal. So in his first game, maybe he's a guy that could possibly play on that third line. We saw Justin Florek, who's more of a defensive, kind of a grinding guy. Maybe he's there. There's some other guys in Providence, some more skilled players, Ryan Spooner, Alexander Kokochev, but they're natural centers. It'd be a lot to ask them to move to the wing, not only to the wing, but then to their weak side. So that's the issue there. I think that's why they prefer to get a right shot veteran to play on that line. There are some internal candidates, but it wouldn't be the ideal solution for what they're looking for.
Fluto Shinzawa, beat reporter for the Boston Bruins, joins us. Of course, it was a disappointing end to the season for the Bruins, losing out to Montreal. A lot of people felt like, you know, they couldn't handle the speed at times. Of course, the injury, I think, Carey Price being out, some people wondered, well, you know, how did that go for them? Impacted it even more in the Rangers series. But when you look at the Bruins, they were clearly the best team in the East last season. I know they lost Jerome Iginla, who very quietly had a very productive 30-goal season again. When you look at this team, now a year older, they've got young guys in Smith, who was great in that trade, and then, of course, Krug. Are they still, in your mind, the class of the East, regardless of who they trade away to free up the cap space?
Yes, I think so, Jason. I think especially within the context of the power still being out west, Chicago, L.A., then you add in Anaheim, St. Louis, maybe even Minnesota takes a step forward next year, and any of these teams could win the Cup. You look in the East, the Bruins, I don't think necessarily improved. Maybe some of their younger players improved in terms of guys like Hamilton, Krug, Smith. Maybe you can ask for more production there. But then you always have the issue of Chara, 37 years old and playing the big, heavy minutes that he does. You just never know. And we saw in the playoffs he got hurt. He got slashed against Montreal. And he just really fell off in the last couple of games. So there's always an issue there, but then Pittsburgh, hit or miss. You don't know what they're going to bring, especially with the goaltending the way it is. Rangers lose so many bodies just because of their cap situation. And Emily's older, Nash, you know, he's hot and cold. You lose Richards, even though with that money they couldn't bring him back, that he's still your second line center. So who knows if they even make the playoffs. Montreal should be better just because their star players are so good in terms of price, Subban, Pacioretty. But then you look around the East, you still have teams like Buffalo, Florida, Carolina. They're going to be in that McDavid hunt, the Eichel hunt for the number one pick. So within that context, the stability of the Bruins organization, with Chiarelli and Julian being there as long as they have, star players on defense in goal with Rask, at center with Bergeron, and to a lesser extent Krejci, and some depth. I still think the Bruins are the best in the East. Now, they don't stack up, I don't think, against the West, but maybe those Western teams really beat themselves up in the playoffs, and who knows? It's one good, bad bounce, and there you go.
Looking at their pending UFAs after this season, David Krejci, Campbell, Paille, Soderberg, Boychuk, McQuaid, Bartowski, they can't keep them all, especially when they're this close to the cap and they haven't re-signed Smith and Krug yet. Is this a kind of a one last effort before this team makes some significant changes?
Yeah, I think there will be some turnover. I don't see Paille coming back. I don't see Campbell coming back. Certainly not Boychuk. McQuaid, you just can't stay healthy. And Barkowski, maybe he moves on. I think Krejci certainly comes back. I think that maybe sometime in camp, maybe sometime this fall, they get down to an extension. You can't lose your number one center, your best offensive center. So, like I said with Chara, again, 37 years old, and he keeps himself in good shape, but the way he plays and the important minutes that he plays, you just never know. He just puts himself at risk for injury just because of the nature of his job description. So you don't know what's going to happen there. Dennis Seidenberg is coming off pretty significant knee surgery. So there you have it. They have some prospects pushing from below. I've mentioned Spooner and Kokochev as two of their guys. You're going to have a rookie goalie backing up Rask and Nicklas Svedberg. So it's interesting. Before, there was only one or two jobs up for debate in camp. Now you have four or five, and certainly more the next summer. So it's, I wouldn't call it a bridge year or anything like that, but it's there's transition happening here.
Fluto, I appreciate your time. Always great stuff to talk to you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, Jason. You're welcome.